Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable. We are talking about sex and sexuality, specifically in the book Dracula by Bram Stoker. So, Alice,
yes.
Would you like to talk a little bit about your observation here about Dracula isn't exactly human?
Yes, I mean, this is so funny to be talking about things like sex and sexuality in terms of Dracula, because we think of sex and sexuality as human, you know, human sex and sexuality. But how do we categorize Dracula's sexuality, which is undeniable, but he's not human? So, he's definitely non-binary, right? I mean, we can say that. He doesn't really fit any of the categories, you know, literally, because he's a supernatural being, not a human. So, you know, beyond the human spectrum of sexuality, Dracula has his own supernatural spectrum. And so all we can really do is kind of talk about him as though he were a human character. I feel like that's the best way to try to understand Dracula as a sexual being, if you will, especially in relation to some of the other characters in the book. But before we talk about the relationships, I thought it would be kind of interesting to kind of look at Count Dracula in this book, Bram Stoker's novel, about how his sexuality has actually affected vampire lore. Because, as we've already said, this was one of the first full-on vampire stories that really captured the public imagination to a point where this book, this character, is the first well-known vampire, right? I think that's a fair assessment. And so everything after this book developed with Dracula in the back of people's minds, whether it was other stories, other books, movies, TV adaptations, whatever. And I think one of the things that we talked about wanting to discuss is talking about vampire lore itself in terms of metaphorical sex and sexuality. So,
right.
You take us on that a little bit.
Right. I find this whole topic fascinating, because I don't really enjoy most vampire stories themselves.
I don't either.
I love tracing just the fascination of why do we as a society even like them?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, the Dracula really is the quintessential vampire a piece of literature / media.
Mm-hmm.
There are vampire stories before it. There's mm-hmm. one in the early 1800s. There's one about, I think it came out in about the 1870s, called Carmilla.
Yeah.
And that one actually has, you could interpret it as kind of a lesbian slant.
Yeah.
Where mm-hmm. it is a young female vampire. The prey is another young female, like early teens.
Mm-hmm.
And where the bite takes place is not the neck. It is on the breast, which is, you know, sexual.
Yeah.
Now, they are not actually having the physical act of sex, but there's definitely is this an analogy here?
Right.
Maybe sort of kind of here. And so sex is, and sexuality, you know, that's part of vampire stories leading up to Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely full-blown in the book Dracula itself.
Yeah, and crossing what we would normally consider human sexuality, gender roles, and norms, because, as we've said over and over, Dracula is not picky. He will suck the blood of any man, woman, child that crosses his path, right? I mean, he is not a picky vampire.
Mm-hmm. And Dracula in the book is not sexy. They describe him, and he's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talked about the Bela Lugosi in mm-hmm. the movie version. Mm-hmm. Then there's some sex appeal on Dracula.
Yeah, I love so much about the Bela Lugosi movie, mostly because it was the first vampire movie that I ever saw, and it, you know, I knew this book and I knew that movie, and nothing since has ever compared for me. They're just the best. And Bela Lugosi didn't really speak English when he played Dracula. He did his lines basically phonetically. And yet he was able to emote such charm and power and intimidation and all the things that have become standard for a vampire character to possess. Bela Lugosi really emanated all that on screen. I would disagree slightly with, I agree with you saying that in the book, Dracula is not, you know, handsome. He's not like a stereotypical handsome character. However, he does have sexual pull.
He has charisma.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, despite the kind of gross descriptions of his fingernails or how he looks when he looks old, and you know, he never really looks very good, if you will, or sexually attractive. But he has sexual power. There is clearly, you know, I keep thinking of the It girls, you know, the It, when you say someone has it, he has mm-hmm. it, whatever that is.
Right.
And that comes across in the book,
right.
I think.
Yeah, the physical description is he's tall, thin, pale, white-haired, long mustache, hairy palms, long, sharp fingernails, pointed ears, long, sharp, white teeth. But you're right. Strangely, he has some parallels to Scarlett, where he is not conventionally physically attractive, and yet he has this charisma,
yeah,
this sexual
yeah.
power.
Yeah, and we understand that some of that is supernaturally enhanced. He has mm-hmm. mind powers, if you will, to take over and seduce. I'm using sexual terms, seduce someone mm-hmm. through his mind powers. It's not so much his physical allure, which is so interesting to me because, you know, in Western culture, physical allure is so important, right? And in this story, somehow, you know, we've got this character who's not physically alluring, but man, has he birthed, you know, generations of vampire lore where the vampires are physically alluring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bela Lugosi was an attractive, mature adult male. He had that dark hair and those piercing eyes, and you know, his bone structure was amazing. I mean, he came across sexually alluring. The book doesn't give us that, but the interpretations and the adaptations and then other stories written by other authors through the rest of, you know, through to today have definitely, you know, made most of the vampires are pretty good looking. I mean, look at the Anne Rice books, you know, which we should say in Anne Rice, there's not a lot of sex going on. The vampires aren't into sex, but they're, you know, I mean, the movie adaptation was, you know, Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, you know, they've both been kind of, you know, well, I don't want to say voted most, you know, best, handsomest man in the world or something, but,
right.
you know, they've had those, that's part of their popularity is that they're good-looking
right.
guys, right?
And Antonio Banderas.
Yes, and Antonio mm-hmm. Banderas, yes.
Yep.
A little exotic sexy there, right? And, but like with True Blood, that I can't remember now what pay channel True Blood started on. But there's a lot of sex with the vampires in True Blood. You know,
mm-hmm.
sex is very important. And
right.
I have not read the Twilight books. I think you have.
Yes, and what's interesting about that one is that there's a lot of discussion about how when you become a vampire, that you are basically given a lot of powers of seduction, like glitter.
Oh, I see.
And so basically, just the act of becoming a vampire gives you, like, all these things to draw your prey in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the vampire lore that, you know, in popular culture at least, was kind of started with Bram Stoker's novel. I acknowledge there were other vampire stories before that, but this is the one that really took off. you know, across the world, you might say. I think that the lore that has come after has built on and, you know, made the sex and sexuality part of Dracula's character and other vampires' characters much, much, much more graphic and much more, I'm finding my words are escaping me, but obvious. You know, it's very subtle in the book that he has these powers, and they're not physical, right? They're more of a mental kind of supernatural hold over people, if you will. But that has changed in vampire lore, that the physical attractiveness is part of the vampire's sexual allure, or just allure, period, you know. Do you think that's a fair kind of...
I think the physical is present in the book Dracula. I do agree that a lot of it is, you know, the mind power, mm-hmm. the spiritual hold.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, for example, when we talk about the three brides,
right.
who are seducing Jonathan Harker,
mm-hmm.
the words that are used as he's laying there waiting to be penetrated,
yeah.
they're very physically sexual sorts
yeah,
of
yeah, isn't voluptuous one of the words used?
Oh,
when the description...
Stoker yeah. loves the word voluptuous.
I know, and the descriptions of the lips, the full lips, and, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, I agree. I think that Bram Stoker put sex in this book and sexuality in this book definitely with the vampire women, those three women. And I think that in terms of Dracula himself, I believe there are scenes in the book where Bram Stoker intentionally is not describing how he looks, but we just get Dracula's words and thoughts, maybe, and his interactions with other characters, and it comes across very sexually
mm-hmm.
charged.
Right.
And I wonder, I've always wondered if Bram Stoker chose in those scenes to not remind us what he looks like.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, and I think that the Mina scene, when Dracula basically forces Mina to suck blood from his breast.
Yeah, that's a very...
I mean, that is both spiritual and physically violent and sexual.
Yeah, it's very
like, oh.
charged. And mm-hmm. because it's his breast, not his neck, it's also... a reverse of this might sound gross, and I apologize if it's offensive, but you know, breastfeeding, nurturing is usually the woman is offering her breast to a child, a baby,
right.
to be nurtured and fed. This turns that upside down. This is a very dark, upside down visual, if you will, of a breast feeding. This young woman, a male breast, male supernatural being, vampire breast, is the source of the food, the blood, given to Mina, a young woman. That
and is an act of procreation at that point.
Exactly. It is. I mean, this is a complicated story, and Dracula is a complicated character. I think it's fair to say that most of the stories after. Or the adaptations made to television and film after the original Bela Lugosi era movies. I feel like a lot of the more modern retellings in film and TV of this story, the Bram Stoker story, make much of Dracula's infatuation with Mina as some long-lost reincarnation of a love that he had or something, you know, there's a lot more given to their relationship than in terms of sex and love and romance than is actually in the book.
Okay.
And I want to make that clear to our audience that the book, like all the books we're talking about, are always very different than some of the more popular TV or movie adaptations people might have seen.
For sure.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion of sex and sexuality in our four nice books this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Dracula, and Little Women. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.